Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Rolling along on this Friday night. Hope you're having a great time. And if you're not, hopefully we can make it better for you. As we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. The big news in the National Football League today came from Washington, with the Washington football team cutting ties with running back Darius Geis. The Redskins releasing a statement that they had released the running back just hours after he was arrested on felony charges, one of the counts of strangulation. And this is a situation in the NFL that is one that the league does not want. And when you're the Washington football team, as I'm still trying to get used to everything of saying that the nickname George, but just of saying the Washington football team, there has been a lot going on with this organization and the football team making the immediate move to arrest or to let go of Darius Geis following his arrest earlier today.
Yeah, that was one of them. You know, you're messed up, right? You know, you're messed up because it's pretty bad. Like, if the team is saying, all right, we're kind of cutting bait with you because he's still young. I mean, he basically hasn't played. He's been hurt his first 2 years in the league. Mm-hmm. And the team under Ron Rivera is clearly saying we're going in a different direction. And then you go back on the heels of which probably didn't allow the legal system to play out and say, all right, is he guilty? Is he innocent? Any of that is all of the allegations that had been hurled at the Washington franchise to begin with. There was the Washington Post article, I believe, that came out talking about the alleging sexual harassment and misconduct inside of the organization. And now, when there is a potential strangulation and domestic abuse or abuse in general, Darius Geis, he didn't stand a chance. This is a time where he was in the wrong place, wrong time. Had it been another franchise, they may have been a little bit more patient to see some of the facts come out. But after that and the name, ain't no way. They're not taking any negative press from anybody that's not named Dwayne Haskins.
You know, and when we had John Middlecoff on last hour just talking about this situation, I don't see with what you say with the injuries, with the history, and now with these latest, following his arrest on the domestic violence charges, I don't see Darius Geis being back in the NFL. I don't even think it's a situation. Well, maybe down the line.
It would have to be that he gets exonerated on all charges, that it is clear that he didn't do it. That's the first thing. And then he's going to have to go into camp on a minimum contract and prove his worth. Like, he's going to have to go to a workout. It's going to be a few running backs injured, but it's not going to happen probably this season. It'll be a next season kind of deal because he's got some legalities that are going to have to play out, which we don't want to presume is guilt yet. Mm-hmm. or his innocence for that fact. But you know, it's going to have to wait for the dust to settle. And with Antonio Brown, it took them a year to, quote unquote, investigate him. And he was in professional purgatory and he wasn't even facing legal charges. So who knows how long that this will take.
Now, what that means is that as we look at the football sort of thing, which kind of transitions to a topic that I think is interesting. And we hope to hear a bit from the future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson, but the Washington running back now steps up into that backfield. You've got Antonio Gibson, who was a third-round pick out of Memphis. You also have Bryce Love, who is has a year with the team after coming out of Stanford. But if you're entering the 2020 season and you want to make Dwayne Haskins be your starting quarterback, the best friend would be a running game, and it seems like Adrian Peterson is going to get the opportunity now to take over that running game. Despite the advanced age of the running back, it looks like it's going to be his job there in Washington.
He's proven that even in his old age that he still has something left in those legs. And now he's a little more than 4,000 yards away from passing Emmitt Smith. The irony in this is that in him passing Emmitt Smith is that Emmitt Smith has the all-time rushing record in the NFL. Very few people actually acknowledge Emmitt Smith for being the best running back in NFL history. And it took him, you know, going to Arizona, just playing until he was just old to get that record. And now you have Adrian Peterson doing the exact same thing. Nobody's going to say Adrian Peterson is the best running back of all time, but they will put him in their top 10, just like Emmitt Smith, even though they will have the record.
Now, Adrian Peterson is 35 years old and will be entering this season. I just want to check back into the control room. Do we have the exact audio from Adrian Peterson? We do not. But he did say on the NFL Network today that winning a championship is the one thing that he wants to win the most. But, yeah, he's 4,140 yards away from Emmitt Smith and says one of his goals is to pass the GOAT. So he does think, at least in his mind, that Emmitt Smith is the GOAT, or at least that the all-time rushing mark at least is the point that he's making. I look at it like this way, George, and I've said this before on the network, and I think it's apropos to say it again here. I believe that Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing mark is going to be untouchable in the National Football League. Said it for the last couple of years, even before Frank Gore kind of seemed to be knocking on the door, even before Adrian Peterson wants to put his best step forward. There's just no way at 35 years old that Adrian Peterson is going to have three 1,300-yard seasons, which, by the way, still wouldn't even get him to the point of passing Emmitt Smith. Like, there's no way that Adrian Peterson is going to be running the ball when he's 39 or 40 trying to pass Emmitt Smith. It is just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I am telling you right now, don't do that. Adrian Peterson is the kind of guy. Remember when he came back from his ACL surgery and everybody said, oh, he's never going to be the same. Then last year, oh, he's so old, he can't contribute. Yeah, okay. He's just a dude who's built for it tough. There are certain people who are built different. Tom Brady is still out doing it. Adrian Peterson just has a special body, and I am for one. Dan Byer, I hope. Actually, I'm going to mark the tape today. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to tweet it to Adrian Peterson. I am going to call Vernon Davis and ask him to send it directly to Adrian Peterson. That way, when it's over, once he gets the record, if he gets the record, that he shames you publicly. You can't doubt Adrian Peterson.
Okay, just you know, look, you put me on the spot with some trivia that it wasn't trivia at the start of the show. Take a guess at how many 100-yard games Adrian Peterson had a year ago.
One.
He had two, okay?
Oh, see, look, even better.
He also had a game where he had 7 rushes for 18 yards, 10 rushes for 25 yards, 9 rushes for 25 yards.
The
opportunities are not going to be there. The last time Adrian Peterson had 1,300 yards, which is, I'm being generous, was in 2015. That's half a decade ago.
So do you see what the problem is? The problem is what Adrian Peterson said, in that he's trying to win a championship. Trying to win a championship and trying to get the rushing record, they're not going to happen in the same place. He also is under contract. The team picked up his 2020 option. And winning a championship in Washington is not happening. Not under Daniel Snyder. And the other factor is, last year, Washington had Dwayne Haskins as their quarterback for the second half of the season. And we've seen this with Josh Allen earlier in his career, well, his rookie season. We've seen it with other quarterbacks. If you cannot throw the football, you cannot run the football, because nobody will be afraid of your wideouts. They know that you won't do it, and if you do, you can't complete passes. There is no difference in having – I mean, if Nathan Peterman is your quarterback, nobody is going to respect your running game at all. They're just going to sit on everything. They're not going to put safeties back. They're going to say, I double dog dare you to beat us. And if you can, fine, then we will change up what we do. So Adrian Peterson's impediment is playing in Washington. And Dwayne Haskins' maturation is the thing that can stop him. But if Dwayne Haskins improves, he got a shot.
Are you going to include that to Vernon Davis when you send it? Are you going to put all of that in the piece that's going to end up in the hands of Adrian Peterson?
No, I'm going to make just, it look as I'm going to. Yes, I'm going to make it you look as bad as possible. I'm not taking any heat for this.
I am telling you that Emmett Smith mark is just – it's untouchable for the way that the NFL is, the way that the league handles running backs. It is just it's not going to happen. And here's
He'll
what's even
He'll play 10
amazing.
More years if he needs to.
Frank Gore's 37 years old and is third all-time. Adrian Peterson is 35, as I mentioned, and fifth all-time. Gore still has 3,008 yards to tie, 3,009 to break Emmett Smith with the New York Jets and Le'Veon Bell there. I don't know how many opportunities he'll get, but he'll get some. He could maybe in 2 years have a chance to pass Walter Payton for second, and I'm talking about Frank Gore. But this is what's amazing, and this is why I say that the record is untouchable, because once Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore do call it quits, and I don't think that they will pass Emmett Smith, the next active running back on the all-time rushing list is LeSean McCoy at 11,000 yards.
He gone. Yeah. and he gone.
And think about this. After that, Mark Ingram with 7,000. So that's where you are in the NFL. Like guys like, you know, Todd Gurley, who had great starts to their career, we see how they end up. The 18, you know, 100-yard rusher for, you know, 3 years is just, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen in the National Football League.
I will give you this, Dan Beyer. I will concede this to you. If Adrian Peterson or Frank Gore don't break Emmett Smith's record, not happening. I will agree that it's untouchable. It is Ted Williams hitting 400. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, who has had a great start to his career and likely would have had four seasons of 1,000 yards or more to start his career without that six-game suspension. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying the numbers. Has 5,405 yards. So he's 13,000 yards short of what Emmett Smith has. It's amazing. And I think we were in that running era, you know, that running back era where, you know, Emmett did pass Walter Payton, but we remember Walter Payton breaking Jim Brown's record and having Barry Sanders come, you know, be one of the top running backs of all time, if not the best, try to make a push. We grew up in that era, but now when you see how the NFL is, yeah, it's just not happening. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Brought to you tonight by Blue Emu. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. Get George on Twitter at George Reister. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. George's favorite topic to talk about in the entire world is coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, except for I'm George Reister and he is Dan Beyer. You guys can tweet us at Fox Sports Radio or at Dan Beyer on Fox and me at George Reister. And Dan said, yes, this is my favorite subject to talk about. And we have to bring in the publisher of collegefootballnews.com and friend of the program, Pete Futak. We are going to grill him. We have a lot of questions for you, Pete.
You need some grilling. How's it going, guys?
What's up, Pete? Good to talk to you again.
We're doing good, Pete. So first thing is, I guess we have already seen the Pac-12 Players United, Big Ten Players United, Mountain West Conference Players United, and I'm hearing rumblings that the SEC could be up next. Is there any chance that the college football season can be played, but ultimately the players decide that it won't be played?
The only kind of thought I have when I'm seeing all this is the reaction from the down south would be like, bless their heart. It's so cute. I'm a player's right advocate. I want them to have all this. They deserve all of this. They're not asking for anything they should not have, and they're absolutely 100% in the right. I am 100% completely and totally behind them, and they're not going to get much of any of this. They have no leverage. And where the Pac-12 players kind of blew it out of the box because they were kind of all over the board. I mean, they started out with looking for stop social injustice, which, of course, everyone's going to be for. No one's going to argue against that. And then they pivoted to other things, and they pivoted to something else. And then all anybody wanted to talk about was the 50% revenue cut. Which, okay, that's great. I'm sure the schools right now would be like, fine, guys, this year, go ahead and take 100% of the revenue. We're not making any money this year. You're asking at the wrong time for this change. The Big Ten players figured it out, and they went with exactly how the Pac-12 should have done and how all the players should do it, which is third-party representation when it comes to testing protocols and the player advocacy for their health, because everyone's going to be behind that. It's the exact thing that the players need just to get this thing going. Is they need somebody, they need a Spencer Strassmore in there who can represent their interests, because they don't have an NFLPA. They don't have a union. They have to count on these coaches and taking their, you know, everyone's, all the administrators' word that they're going to have their best interest in heart. And as we're seeing, the players don't trust them fully, and they don't quite trust the system, nor should they.
Pete, how much did that Big Ten response, being mainly focused on the health, as you said, hurt the Pac-12's effort for their positions?
It depends on what the Pac-12's really going for. Now, look, you're not going to get any money if you don't ask for it. So I respect what they're trying to do. And again, I'm with them. The system has to change. And I've never quite understood, you know, why so many college football fans go so crazy about the idea of, you know, all the players getting money. It's not their money. I don't know why they're, you know, worrying about giving this up. But it's such a sticking point. And right now, when there's no revenue coming in, when the Pac-12 is talking about, you know, allegedly or reportedly maybe borrowing $1 billion or so, or, you know, whether that's true or not, they're not making money with no fans in the stands. This is the wrong time. And as I've always sort of said throughout all of this, for the 20-something years I've been doing CFN and, you know, dealing with all this, if the players really want to do this, if you're a college basketball, in college basketball, announce your boycott 48 hours before the NCAA tournament. If you're a college football, announce it 2 days before the season's supposed to start. But no player wants to do that. And that's when they have all the leverage. Right now, when, look, all these conferences are just this close to pulling the plug anyway on a season, nah, they're not going to get much in the way. I mean, the Pac-12 gave them what they should have. Okay, fine, you get to keep your scholarship if you opt out. You should not have to sign a COVID waiver. Those are the easy parts. But then if you go into the big, larger parts, 50% of the revenue, again, that's a sticking point in this whole thing. And what I think they should get more of is the 6 years of health insurance after their eligibility is up. I don't even think that goes far enough. But right now, that's a hard thing to get.
Yeah, Pete, I agree with them there. And I've said that they shouldn't actually be even asking for the 50% of the revenue. I think that increasing that they should ask for more of what the Big Ten it asked for, increased in stipends, but unencumbered name, image, and likeness that they can use, that they can make money off their name, image, and likeness, because the NCAA has already begging Congress to give us a plan. And the conferences, the Autonomy Five conferences, came up with their own list. And do you think that that's the best thing for them, is to have name, image, and likeness rights instead of potentially being deemed university employees?
And you kind of touched upon it, unencumbered. And that's where the problem is, where as soon as you start doing these, and I'm using air quotes on the radio here, guardrails, like the NCAA wants to put up, then there's a problem. Unencumbered is the key here. Because if name, image, and likeness, it's like, okay, let's say, you know, can you go get a Gatorade sponsorship or do Gatorade ads? Yeah, sure, you can go do that. But we forget, it's not like every player gets endorsement deal, especially in the pros. It's certainly not in college, but certainly the Trevor Lawrences of the world, the Justin Fields of the world, yeah, they can go get ad deals, and that's how you pay those guys as opposed to the backup punter, you know, for a Group of Five program. The other problem with the 50% revenue thing is it's still not quite fair, because again, how do you pay the Heisman caliber guys compared to the backup guys? And then you've got to bring Title IX in it, nine into it, which means you're not just talking about 50% of the revenue going to the football. Now you've got to find the equal amount of money to go to the female athletes. And so it just becomes kind of a logistical mess. I'm not saying that the money's not actually there when times are good. And certainly they are earning that part of that deal. But it's just such a hard thing to put together right now when you're slashing athletic departments left and right. And then on top of this, part of the Pac-12 players' demands were, yeah, we kind of want Stanford to bring back their non-revenue sports. Yeah, you kind of can't have it both ways in all this.
He's the publisher of collegefootballnews.com. Pete Futak joining us here on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Jason and Mike tonight. I'm going to bust out an award show right now. Okay, the nominees for best Power 5 schedule during a pandemic are the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the Big 12. Pete, you get to announce the winner of who won the award for best college football schedule by a Power 5 conference during a pandemic. And the winner is?
So far at least, it looks like it's going to be the Big 10, because the Big 12 and the ACC, you still got to pay whoever it is you're going to play in this extra non-conference game.
They're not going to play anybody, Pete. They're not playing the extra game.
If they do, where's this money coming from? Because that's the thing they're kind of not saying, and you're seeing this with, you know, the Georgia State athletic director saying, hey, Bama, you're paying us this $1.3 million, and Bama's like, eh, not really. So what are you paying these guys with if you're not having fans in the stands? And the Big Ten has done the best job of spreading it out. So they're starting relatively normal September 12th-ish, and they're going through, they're keeping their championship game open from December 12th or December 19th. By the way, can we now blow up the idea that we can't have another round of college football playoffs because, oh, we can't have it in the middle of December when all the conference championships are going to be on December 19th? So you have a long season here for the Big Ten, and they've built in that November 28th week to be able to have, just in case, you know, and then they're playing like the Michigan-Ohio State game early. If for whatever reason that doesn't happen, they can then push it back to the end of the season. So there's enough flexibility there. It's a long, stretched-out thing. There's a lot of room to play with this. And on the micro level, who's got the best? Who's the big winner on your awards show? How about Wisconsin? They had four teams that they originally weren't going to play from the Big Ten East. They originally weren't supposed to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Rutgers. So one of those four teams they were going to play in the new schedule, and which one did they get? Rutgers. So if you're Iowa or Nebraska or Minnesota, you're kind of breaking something tasteful over, wait a minute here, we got to play the big boys, and you guys miss three of the big guys from the other division? Oh, that's fair.
Truly amazing.
I just think that, well, I will ask you this, because I've asked every single person whenever they come on. how many games do you believe college football is going to start? Because in some states, particularly California, USC, UCLA, and Cal can't even throw balls right now. And their week one game on September 26th, the heads of the schools have already said that that's very unlikely. So do any of the conferences start, and which ones finish, Pete?
I think most of them start. I think most of them finish, and I think it's a gigantic mess in between. I do think some places are going to be okay enough to get going. And again, everyone's going to have to be flexible. And I'm sort of half joking right now, where okay, we're getting these emails all the time from sports athletic directors, and you know, saying okay, we've got we just did this whole round of testing, and our team tested all negative. Okay, well then, if you tested all negative and your week one opponent tested all negative, how about next Tuesday? You guys get together and go. Like, just go play now when you guys are healthy. The problem is going to be, and what's weird about us is we live in this sports bubble where we're all talking to other media members and everything, and all of us are in the same boat saying, like, no way that they're going to play college football if you can't have regular students on campus. Well, for most college football fans, like I will say like 85%, they don't care about students on campus. Like, oh, well, that will show if they play college football that these aren't regular students. They're not regular students. They're better. That's why they're getting the scholarships. They get the people to go to this school. So I do think they're going to start this up, but everyone's going to have to quickly pivot from the idea of, yeah, all this regular college, like it's supposed to go. You're really paying $50,000 for a glorified streaming service for the first semester, but maybe you can still have college football anyway. And the other key part of this is read the room. Look at the NHL. Look at the NBA. It's working. It's a bubble. You can't put 130, actually now 129 college football teams in a bubble, but you can do it in an athletic dorm by athletic dorm basis and say, okay, team X, you got to just shut it down. Keep everybody in your athletic dorm. Take your courses online, just like all the regular students, and then you can figure out and go from there.
He's Pete Futak, publisher of collegefootballnews.com. My final question: how many bowl games, if we have a season, will we have come the winter?
Well, what's really funky about this, too, is if you've got the conference championship games in the middle of December, they're already going to push the college football playoff rankings until after all of them are played, mm-hmm. which means if they're not played until the 19th, you're not going to find out until December 21st. What the bowl game matchups are. So they're either going, the bowl games are either going to have to say, look, let's be honest here, you know, Marshall versus, Louisiana Lafayette, you guys aren't going to be in the college football playoff. We're going to make sure you guys are set up in the Bahamas Bowl or whatever, because that's probably going to have to go off on like December 19th-ish or
sure.
something. So either the bowls go early, and you know, we've already lost the Red Box, and those are actually probably easier because those guys are usually pretty much locked down and quarantined anyway when they go to bowl games for the most part. So those you could probably go, and I'm sure ESPN's going to want to, you know, they paid a whole lot of money for these bowls. They're going to want to have their programming have these things go off. College football playoff is going to be a fascinating case study this year. At the end of the day, we might get the three service academies and Liberty playing in this thing, but they do think we're going to have a college football playoff.
Give me Liberty or give me death. He's Pete Futak. Find him on Twitter. That's where you can find him, at Pete Futak. He's the publisher of collegefootballnews.com. Thanks so much for taking a part of your Friday night, Pete. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Dan Harmon. But it's really Dan Beyer and George Reister. I am excited, Dan, because I'm getting a baptism by fire.
Yes.
You always introduce these new games to me, and now it's time.
Well, here's the good thing about this, is this isn't even a new game to so many, because when Mike Harmon and I used to do Sunday mornings together on Fox Sports Radio, you know, we'd get the family together and we'd have some fun, but we don't do the Sunday shows together anymore, but we do get together sometimes when Jason's out, and I'll sit in with Mike and we'll have some fun and we still get the family together, and you know what we do, George? We play the feud. Yes, here we go. It's the Fox family, made up of George Reister, Lee DeLapp, Steve DeSager, and of course, Alex Teichert, the Big A. Guys, top 8 answers on the board. and we'll go around three strikes. There is one change, though, to the feud that most people know. In this game, we call it the pass. And it allows one person, if it's their turn, to use the pass. We would reveal an answer, but then the pass is unable to be used by anyone else in the game. It's also known as the Alex Teicher rule.
Yes, it is.
But here we go. All right. George, is that simple enough? We're just playing Family Feud here. How about that?
Absolutely.
All right. Top eight answers on the board. What I want to know, guys, who are the players of the PGA Championship that have won multiple majors? There are eight players playing in this year's PGA Championship that have won multiple majors in their career. We are going to start off with Alex Teichert on this one. We'll go Alex, George, Lee, and then Steve. Alex, you are first up because of just your seniority here.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Top eight answers on the board. Players of the PGA Championship that have won multiple majors.
Dan, you know I shine bright at these kind of events, especially when it's on sports subjects. Let's go with Mike Harmon's famous drop, even though he's not here answering my first question here.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Let's go, Tiger.
Hey, show me Tiger Woods.
Let's go.
There he is. Yes, the big 1-5, the big cat on top of this list. Number one answer. Let's go over to George Reister.
I am going to go with my favorite golfer at this time, who's trying to make a three-peat, Brooks Koepka.
Okay, Brooks Koepka. Show me Brooks Koepka. Yeah, not only has he won this tournament twice, as George mentioned, also going for the three-peat this week, also a two-time U.S. Open winner with four majors. Over to Lee Delap, the executive producer tonight. Lee, top eight answers on the board. Players in the PGA Championship that have won multiple majors.
I was hoping Brooks Koepka would drop to me. I'm going to go with Justin Thomas.
Oh, Justin Thomas. That's he's number one player in the world. Is it Justin Thomas? No, Lee, unfortunately, he's only won one major, the 2017 PGA Championship. That's the first strike. Let's go over to Steve DeSager.
I'll say Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy had some issues today, a three-putt from about 5 feet, but does he have multiple majors under his belt? Show me Rory McIlroy. Yes, he does. He's got four of them, including a couple of PGA championships. Back around to the big A. Pass is still available, Alex.
You know what's funny, Dan, is I literally lipped the same time Steve did. I was like, I'm going to go with that same cat. But he picked it. So I might have to use a pass rule, but I'm only thinking of one other golfer, Dan, that's dating the hot girl, Polina Gretzky. I think his name's like Dustin Thomas? Dustin
Johnson.
Johnson. Dustin Johnson. Can I go with him?
Oh, okay. All right. You know what? I like your workaround. Is it Dustin Thomas or is it Dustin Johnson?
No.
Close. He's only won one.
Yes, the 2016 U.S. Open.
He's blown a couple, though.
Well, if you see his girlfriend, I think he won twice.
Big A, his mind is always in the gutter. All right, over to George Reister. There's two strikes already. We only have three names revealed on our top eight answers on the board. The players in this year's PGA Championship that have won multiple majors.
Why didn't anybody say Phil Mickelson?
I'm not sure, but I think you did right now. Show me Phil Mickelson. Yes, second on our list. Number two answer with five. Pass is still available. It's still alive. Let's go over to Lee Delap.
I should really leave this for Alex. Yes. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to pass.
Oh, you're going to. All right. You're going to pass. Martin Keimer, we will reveal, who had a great Thursday and an awful Friday. Martin Keimer, a two-time major champion. He's on the list. Over to Steve DeSager on the news desk.
So we have two left, is that correct?
Three left. We have Tiger, Phil, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, and now Martin Keimer off the board. So looking for three other players that have multiple majors in this year's PGA field.
Nobody has said Jordan Spieth.
Not until now. Show me Jordan Spieth.
Ding, ding,
there
ding.
There he is. Three-time major winner. All right. Okay, guys. If Alex names it an actual golfer, I will be a PGA Tour player. I may just give him the answer.
Oh, Dan.
All right, Big A.
So you know what's funny is I always remember from an old show that used to be here, they always used to go, the Kuchar. I'm going to go with, I think it's Matt Kuchar, Matthew Kuchar.
Oh, Matt Kuchar.
Yes!
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. Is it Kuchar?
No,
it is not Matt Kuchar. He hasn't won a major.
Oh, man.
Oh, unfortunately. George, did you have one of the other two answers?
I was going to go with
Patrick Reed?
No, I was going to go with Bubba Watson.
Yeah, show me Bubba Watson. There he is, two-time Masters winner. And the other one, you guys know this? Steve, Lee, anybody?
Justin Rose? I don't know. No, not
Adam.
Zach Johnson.
Zach Johnson.
Yeah, Masters in the Open Championship. And there are two Zach Johnsons in this PGA Championship,
the good one,
by the way. Yes, you wanted the good one. Coming up next, Dabo speaks, George responds here on Fox Sports Radio.